Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Ian Bessarabia, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm well, thanks. And how are you?
Excellent. Thank you for asking. We are halfway through the year. Two questions for you. One question is, name one thing that you have gained during this last year, and it can't be in pounds, kilograms, or inches, and or centimeters. And the next question is, what is your order of social media apps or platforms that you use?
Okay, so one thing I've gained during lockdown is I learned how to clean the filter of the dishwasher. I didn't even know a dishwasher had a filter.
That is honestly the saddest thing I've ever heard. Genuinely.
Shocking.
Genuinely the saddest thing. I actually am in tears from that.
No.
He said that what he's learned is to clean the filter of the dishwasher.
Oh.
Makes me so sad. All right, fine. That's what
shocking.
Appalling.
Shocking.
And the next, tell us about your social media.
So I think from my side, and looking very much in the scope of a work perspective, is my two are definitely LinkedIn, mm-hmm. and I would say Twitter is another one for me. So LinkedIn and Twitter are the ones that I go to from a business perspective.
So it's funny because I use LinkedIn, but I didn't even list it. And the reason is that I have to force myself to use LinkedIn. And it's quite, I post things on it. I do use LinkedIn. I scroll through it, but I don't love, I'm not drawn to it. I'm not in the same way. I have to remember to go on LinkedIn.
Absolutely. And I think that's the thing is that LinkedIn made a very specific drive, if I can put it in their early existence, is to differentiate and distinguish themselves from Facebook, is because they didn't want to become another Facebook. They wanted to become a business platform. And a lot of people never felt the need. Like you said, and I still think a lot of people who haven't explored the broader opportunities and the broader strengths of LinkedIn have avoided it because it just seems like another platform. But if you delve into LinkedIn, and especially from a recruitment perspective, it's phenomenal how much recruitment is actually done through LinkedIn these days.
Lindy Weir says she uses Twitter, WhatsApp, and then Instagram. So that is what she is using. Ian, before we get on to the topic, I actually want to repeat the item. A few of you are asking me to repeat the item that you need to look for on the KitchenEque website. So you need to find this item on the website, then you need to message me how much it is. If you get that answer correct, we will call you and you can win 500 Rand as a gift voucher. So the item is a Typhoon folding handle REC, which is REC charger. Typhoon folding handle REC charger. I want to know from you how much this costs. If you tell me that, then then you stand the chance of winning that prize. Ellie says, my order of media sources is Globes English, LinkedIn Timeline, and then Nir Solomon on Facebook. Oh, he's actually made it. He's actually made it quite specific. And what he's gained from lockdown, he's become a master Lego builder.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow. That's.
I think that's quite cool. I think that's very, very, very cool indeed. All right. So let's just talk about Social Media Day, how social media has reshaped the work environment and redefined productivity. Ian, your thoughts?
So I think the interesting thing from a social media perspective is that people use social media in different perspectives. And I remember there was a lot of controversy probably about, must have been, mid 2015 or thereabout, where people were outraged that recruiters and headhunters or whatever would go and look at your Facebook profile before they would conduct an interview with you. And people started saying that's like part of my personal life, and it's part of like you that's not on my CV, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, what's on my CV is how I present myself at work, and what I do on Facebook is part of my social life. And there was a lot of outrage about it. It didn't last long, to be honest, because I think, as we know, once you're on the internet, or once you put yourself out there, that is who you present yourself as. And it's interesting how the recruitment process has evolved from just that CV to a much broader platform where we as individuals need to refocus ourselves and look at how we present ourselves, not only on a CV, on a piece of paper, or on LinkedIn, or on like a job portal, but in all facets of how we engage with social media.
Anton says, Anton Lopez says, is Slack considered social media? Or is that really a communication tool? It's become a little bit more. It's a bit of a hybrid, isn't it?
So it is a bit of a hybrid. And you know what's interesting about Slack? So for the listeners that don't know about Slack, Slack is like, it's almost an interactive communications platform, which was originally set up for the gaming industry, and it failed miserably because the gamers found it too, they found it too, like, almost too slow, or it was not too intuitive. You know, these guys are really quick and they want something interactive. And then Slack repurposed themselves and it became an internal, communication tool within companies. And, there's a lot of talk at the moment that
You continue, I just want to make a correction. Apparently it's not a charger, it's a char grilla. No wonder people are having so much difficulty. In my humblest apologies. So no wonder people are battling and sending me all of the wrong answers. And it is a purely my fault. It's a Typhoon folding handle rec char grilla. There we go. Okay, so now you can find the right item, and I want to know how much it costs. Apologies. Sorry, carry on, Ian.
No, Howard, you see, if you spend more time in the kitchen like I have during lockdown, you'd know these things.
I'm trying to think, have I gained any cooking skills? No, I don't think so.
Need to talk to your wife about that, Howard.
Yeah.
But going back to the whole concept of what we do and how we present ourselves is, and talking about Slack, is Slack is now positioning itself as the future of email, and there's developments in the Slack world that they want to actually take on the email platforms and say that you don't actually need email. Why do you need to send a lengthy email when you can just send it in Slack and you can have an interactive conversation, you can share documents, you can share it with multiple people. So to answer Anton's question, it is kind of a form of social media. It's a form of social interaction, and the thing is with Slack, what you can do is you can actually make it internal and external. So you can have what we call internal channels, or you can have external channels. So something definitely to watch, especially in this whole new environment where people are more on the move or more distanced from each other. They may be looking for more convenient tools than having an inbox that you really don't feel like going through at the best of times, especially when you're being now hounded with so many emails because people are not meeting up with you or seeing you face to face.
Yeah. So social media has completely changed. I mean, would you consider something like Teams then social media? I guess it is because I spend a lot of my day on Teams. We have our meetings on Teams, but also we've got these channels that people are posting photos and they're having these conversations.
I'm even wondering about running apps like the Nike running app or Strava. Because you have a profile and
everything's almost got that as a hybrid now.
Yeah.
Everything is really social media.
I agree. I think Howard, to a large degree, we're probably expanding and it's not really social media anymore. It's social networks and social networks is really where people hang out. And you could almost think something like Waze is a social network.
And it's definitely got, absolutely, it's got that element. And internal things within companies, you're starting to see that where companies are creating this hybrid between a social as well as work, but allows people to communicate, especially as we all work remotely.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I say, if you're looking, I know I was working with a couple of big financial institutions last week. And now, you know, just because we're in a different environment, and you have to operate differently doesn't mean that some of these companies are not hiring. So they're now setting up these new virtual interviewing platforms. Now you can just imagine how hectic it is at the best of times to be interviewed face to face. Can you imagine now having to be interviewed virtually on like a Teams or a Skype or a Zoom? it's hugely pressurized. And I think what it's doing for both companies and for individuals who are looking or are in the job market is to really step up their technology skills, because you have to kind of be comfortable with the technology so that you can show up as your best self without worrying about all the technology details.
It's fascinating, but it really has just changed the world.
Certainly, and
it's changed the business world, because originally this was all, and it's fascinating that we call it social media, but actually it's transitioned completely to a work environment.
Yes, and that's where there's this crossover, and I always say that we're entering into this hybrid world of where you can't really distinguish what's work and what's home and what's social and what's not, you know. So somebody said the comment, we shouldn't call it work from home. We should call it, working, like living at work. You know what I mean? Mm. Because we are living in our work environments at the moment. And that's where not only our physical space has become our places of work, our office, but our social places are becoming our workplaces. And that's why you see, even on Facebook, and I'm sure many of the listeners have seen all the little groupings now where people post their services. You have like a suburb group where people can say, do you need this? Do you need that? Do you need an electrician? Do you need a plumber? So there's definitely been a merge between what these platforms were set out initially to do and what they've become or what they're becoming.
Yeah. And Ellie's saying that these websites are all of a social media component, because that's actually designed. That's what keeps us there, is that aspect of it. And it was quite interesting, because a platform like News24 did away with its comments because it was becoming more of that, but too much of it, and they couldn't control what was going on there.
Absolutely, and that's the thing, is that if you're going to have an open platform, you need to have a moderator, and you can't just have somebody sitting there all the time. And as you've seen with Facebook, and I think you spoke to Dina Diamond about it, with all the advertisers pulling out, you can't leave this to algorithms or to other people to manage or moderate these platforms. So sometimes you have to make a call and say, well, look, we're not going to allow interaction. It's the same thing if you look at some of the calls that you talk about, Howard. And I know you mentioned that you're doing a webinar tonight. The question always that's asked is, do you host it as a webinar? Do you host it as a meeting? And the fundamental difference, there's other differences as well, but I think the fundamental difference is do you allow audience participation or not? And that's becoming an interesting thing, is where do you say you want an interactive discussion where people can participate, and where do you say, no, this is just a webinar where people can attend to listen, and they can contribute via questions or private comments. But it's becoming a very interesting space where I think the landscape is changing, and it's going to be interesting to watch the space of how social platforms or these online platforms where people socialize, but at the same time they benefit. It expands also to the virtual conference space, Howard, and that's probably a topic for another day. But virtual conferencing, I think it's going to be a long time before you see these massive global conferences taking place, and many of them moving virtual in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, we do have to have that conversation as a separate conversation. It's actually a very important one, because the whole world has moved to that. And in fact, I had an interesting experience yesterday where one of the physical conferences that we normally attend, obviously this year moved online, and they didn't alter their prices. And they said, no, that's how it's going to be. Yeah. And the person that I was meeting with, who came to me with this, said to me, well, she'll just go back and say that, no, we don't have budget for that. And I said, no, you don't. Don't tell them that. Mm-hmm. Tell them the truth. It is too expensive and there isn't value in it. So you're going to have to adjust your price. Your customers aren't stupid. We know you're not renting venues. We know you don't need security. We know you don't need to hire people, to usher people around, et cetera. So your costs aren't there, and we don't see the same value value being online versus physical. Adjust your price. It's not that we don't have a budget. It's just not worth it. And I said that's actually our job to do it. It's important to give them, we're doing them a favor by telling them that, because that is real honest feedback rather than saying to them, we don't have the budget for it, you know, which is the sort of South Africa, gentle South African way of saying, you know, no, we're not going to participate. Thanks very much. But give them the real feedback, because they're trying to figure it out in their business model. So this is actually a way of helping them out to say, you know, one of our customers is saying, it's not worth it at that price. So I think that we are you know, trying to figure this all out as we go along. It is 8:28. We do need to leave it there. Ian Basarabi, the future of work. Thank you for that conversation.